Hebrews chapter number 11. I'm going to read for you a text verse. It'll be verse number 35. Then I want to back up and read some other verses for you. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 35. Here's what it says. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. So this morning, I want to talk to you on a better resurrection. A better resurrection from verse number 35. But let's back up and let's begin reading in verse number 23. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ better riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, that would be Daniel, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So I want to talk to you for a few minutes about a better resurrection from Hebrews chapter number 11. Let us pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon these words. I pray that, Father, the people that are gathered here today, we thank you for the privilege to assemble. They don't need me, Lord. They need you. And I pray that you would help them, and God, enlighten us and give us understanding and do something in our hearts, God. Help me to be a blessing to them. And God, whatever their needs are, I don't know, but Lord, you do. And I pray that you'll give them what they need. And I pray the Spirit of God would help me this morning, and I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Hebrews is written to Hebrews, that is Jews, the Jewish nation. God had special dealings with the Jews, especially in the Old Testament, but they have been set aside while he deals now with us Gentiles. But he'll go back to the Jews, and the Jewish nation will be restored to him one day. That would be at his second coming, whenever Jesus comes back. So Hebrews chapter number 11 is the faith chapter in the Bible. Y'all all know something about faith. Everybody has some faith of some kind. It may not be the right kind of faith, but everybody does things by faith. Hebrews chapter number 11 is a faith chapter in the Bible. It's all about what people did by faith. all of these Old Testament saints, there's a bunch of them mentioned there, Old Testament saints from Abel to Samuel, and then there's a lot of New Testament saints in there also. The words by faith and through faith are found 23 times in the chapter there in 40 verses. There are 16 individual people named in what they did by faith. Faith is this. Faith is hearing the Word of God. If you want to have Bible faith, faith is hearing the Word of God, what God said, and believing it, and then acting upon it. Doing what He said. One evangelist, some of y'all might have heard of Lester Roloff, but Lester Roloff was always talking about faith. And he had a radio program back in the probably 70s and 80s called The Family Altar. Radio program, big audience. And he said that faith was just, if you want to simplify, it's living by the Bible. It's doing what God said. That's what faith is. And so you got to hear what God says, and you got to believe it, and then you got to act upon it whenever it demands action. You know, faith is not, having faith is not just blind faith, but you have something to base your faith upon. All true faith is based upon what God says. It's based upon the Bible, you see. You stand upon the Bible. We stand upon the Word of God. You know, we sing the songs, standing on the promises of God. Well, that's what faith is, standing on the promises of God. You want to have faith, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to have Bible faith. There are different kinds of faith, but Bible faith, standing upon the Word of God. You heard what God said and you believed it and you act upon what He said. Well, that's faith. That's faith. See, in the Bible here, in Hebrews chapter number 11, it talks about faith for different things. And verse number 3, it says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That's faith for creation. Faith for creation. You see, I'm a creationist. I believe that there's a God in heaven who created all things. I am not an evolutionist. The Bible says in Psalm 19, verse number 1, that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. All you have to do to know that there's a God is look up in the sky and see what God Almighty has created. But see, if you didn't have a Bible, you wouldn't know a lot of things. You wouldn't know what God's name is. You wouldn't know what He's done for you. You wouldn't know that He died on the cross unless He came down here and told you in person, or He told somebody and they told you. But see, He put it down for us in a book. I'm a Bible believer. I believe the Bible, see? Amen. And so it says that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Amen. And so we believe in creation. We believe that God created all things. I wasn't there in Genesis 1:1 when He said in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. But I believe it by faith. You see, you got to exercise some faith in the matter of creation. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 5 talks about a man by the name of Enoch. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. You see, that means he was taken up before he ever died. And we believe that by faith that happened to him. He had faith. He had faith. He's a man that pleased God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. See, God wants us to have faith. He said, if you don't have faith, then you can't be pleasing to God. So we want to find out what God said, and believe what He said, and do what He said. See, if you want to be pleasing to God, that's what the Bible says that that we have to do. It's impossible to please Him without faith. He goes on to talk about other people down there. Verse number 7 talks about Noah. He talks about Noah. I see I'm going to have to pull my coat off here and get up a little steam here after a while and keep everybody awake. Now, come on, y'all wake up and amen. Wake up and pay attention, and I will try not to be long, but who knows? Who knows, you know? And I don't like to be boring, so I'll try not to be boring, and so want to try to get it across to you about how to have a better resurrection. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 7 talks about Noah. By faith, Noah, I'll not quote the verse, but he built an ark by faith. You see, God told Noah it was going to rain and he's going to destroy the human race. He said, I want you to build an ark. I mean, he goes out there and he works for 100 years, or he works for 120 years on something that they had never seen before. You know, they'd never seen rain. They'd never seen rain. And he's preaching to the people there that it's going to come a flood and wipe everybody out. You better build yourself an ark. You know, and everybody laughed at him. The Bible says he's a preacher of righteousness. And so they laughed at him. But the Bible says Noah, by faith, he built an ark. And in so doing, he saved his family. And could I save this? He saved the entire human race by obeying God. Now, God could have gotten somebody else if Noah would not have obeyed him. You know, he could have gotten somebody else. But he chose Noah knowing that Noah would obey him. But you see, 8 people went into the ark. That would be Noah and his wife and his 3 sons and their wives. 8 people went into the ark, and that's what came out. And so in so doing, obeying God, then he saved the human race. And that was God's plan, of course. See, and Noah had to do that by faith. Noah, by the way, didn't have a Bible. He didn't have anything written down like you do. He just had to listen to God, what God said. You say, well, I'll tell you what, I could be a lot better off. I'd be a lot better off if God would just come down and talk to me. You know, if he'd just talk to me audibly so I could hear him, I'd be a lot better off. You know, the Bible says you wouldn't be better off. You're better off having the Bible. Because if God come down, if he were to come down and speak to you, then you might not know his voice. It might be somebody else. Maybe it's the devil talking to you. And then if he spoke to you once and he waited a while, then you'd forget what he said. You see, he'd have to constantly be telling you over and over again. I mean, does anybody think that we can read the Bible through one time and remember it? I can't. I've got to read it over and over again. And if God spoke to me audibly, well, he'd have to come back, you know, in a few weeks or a couple of weeks and tell me again. Because I missed part of it, see. But see, he wrote us a Bible. He wrote us a book. He put it down in black and white. And so that we'd have it here for us, you see. He got prophets to write it down for us. You see, so it says by faith Noah, he built the ark. You can read it in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. It talks also about a man by the name of Abraham. By faith Abraham. And then it talks about Moses. By faith Moses. They did all these things by faith. By the way, these are all Old Testament saints. And did you know this, that the word faith is only mentioned 2 times in the Old Testament? 2 times. And but yet they did things by faith. There's other words mentioned there, but like trust and believe and things like that. And so these people did things by faith. Another interesting fact in Hebrews chapter number 11 is the fact that all of these people that are mentioned there, none of their sins are recorded. Did you know that? None of their sins are recorded. In other words, the sins of Moses. Did you know Moses killed a man? None of the sins of David, he's mentioned there, but yet his sins are not mentioned. Y'all know what David did, don't you? He committed adultery with Bathsheba and he had her husband killed, Uriah. But you see, yet you come over here into the New Testament and their sins are not recorded. You know why? Because whenever you get saved, God erases your sins. He takes them all away. He's not going to hold them against you any longer, you see. And so they're not mentioned here in the faith chapter, you see. All of them sinned. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But whenever you get saved, well, thank God, God doesn't remember your sins anymore, you see. Now us, we might remember them. You remember some of the things that you've done? I remember the things I've done. I don't even like to remember. I keep on, you know, I better not tell y'all any of my secrets or anything. But see, me, I you know, they're still in my brain. I wish I could change it around some. But see, God said that he forgives us and he doesn't bring it up again. Aren't you glad of that? I mean, after 5 years or 10 years, you know, And you start doing something that's not pleasing to God, and God says, okay, buddy, don't you remember 5-10 years ago, Brother Yazzie, don't you remember what you did back there? You know what? He doesn't do that. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't bring it up again. He does remember it. Now, I can't forget everything, but God can. But God can. See, He can forget. He can forget things, and I'm glad He's got a good forgetter, you see. He looks at my record, and it's clean. And what a deal is that, man? He looks at my record, and it's clean? Amen. It's clean because of Jesus. And He's not going to, take it away from me. Somebody says, well, if I do so-and-so, will I go to hell? Well, not if you're saved, you won't go to hell. Are you saved? And whenever you're saved forever. Y'all know that, don't you? Hadn't I preached on that enough? Eternal security? Amen? See? No, you're not going to go to hell. You're not going to go to hell after you get saved. You're not going to go to hell for anything. If you don't understand those things, then, I preached about 4 sermons not too long ago. Anyway, we're talking about faith here. By faith, they did all kinds of things here. Everybody lives by faith in something. You take, for instance, evolutionists, atheists and evolutionists. Did you know that evolution is a religion? It's a religion. They have to have faith in evolution. You know why? Because they believe that things came into existence from nothing, by an accident, by a big bang. But guess what? They believe it happened like 50 million years ago or 50 billion years ago. What difference does it make? But they weren't there. They weren't there. Did they see it? Just like I wasn't there in Genesis 1:1. I didn't see it, but I've got faith that God did it. There is a God. You see, evolution is a religion. They have to have faith to believe it. And brother, let me tell you something. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than it takes to believe that Bible. Amen. It takes more faith to believe in evolution. They did things by faith. Whenever I got saved in June of 1970, I got saved by faith. By faith. I believed in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. A fellow came to my house. His name was Brother Mayfield. I lived at 3006 30th Street in Lubbock, Texas. I was 24 years old. You can tell. And my wife had gone to church by herself, you see. I didn't grow up going to church. Well, we went to church occasionally. But they didn't preach about being saved. I remember them making fun of being born again or things like that. But see, I didn't grow up going to Sunday school. I never went to Sunday school a day in my life until I got saved. But a fella came by my house, and he had the guts enough to look at me and tell me about Jesus and ask me. Then he had the courage enough to ask me, would you like to accept this Christ as your Savior? And I was sitting there in our little one-room house back by the alley, my wife and I, before we had any kids. And I was sitting there on that chair and listening to Brother Mayfield talk to me. And I was praying to God before he ever got through. And I said, God, because I was afraid that he would leave before he asked me. I was afraid he wouldn't ask me. I was afraid he'd just talk to me and then leave. And I was praying. I said, Lord, don't let him leave without asking me if I want to be saved, because I want to be saved. I swear I got saved right there, probably. You see? But when I got saved, I believed in a person. Amen. I believed in Jesus Christ. I didn't believe in some church. I didn't believe in the Catholic Church or the Methodist Church or any other kind of church. I believed in a person. I didn't believe in baptism. I didn't believe something about communion or sacraments or something. No. I believed in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And if you'll believe in a person, then he'll give you eternal life, and it's forever. It's forever and ever, and he'll never take it away from you. And just like they said in that song, he will abide with you forever. Amen. And he will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And when I believe, when I say that I believe in eternal security, I believe in eternal security to the nth degree. That he will never leave you. No, you will never leave, never lose salvation under any circumstances. And he will be with you until you breathe your last breath. And then he'll tap you on the shoulder. And he will say to you, Brother Diaz, Baldemar, it's time to go. Are you ready to go? And off you go. Or he'll call us all up together in the rapture. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You see, I'm looking for that. It's called the blessed hope in the Bible. Looking for that blessed hope, Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope, brother, that'll settle all your problems. You won't have another problem after that. You see, if you ever get saved, most of you folks are probably saved, but if you're not, if you ever get saved, you know what it's got to be by, Brother Yaz? It's got to be by faith. By faith in a person. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all by faith. It says in Titus 3:5, and it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about that last week, I think, that very verse there, the washing there. Some people, their antenna go up and, oh, washing. I hear washing, so I hear baptism. So I think baptism, see. No, the regeneration does the washing, not the other way around. The regeneration does the washing. And the Holy Ghost does the renewing on the inside. You see, salvation is on the inside. And it's supposed to work its way out and change you on the outside. Jesus Christ will save your soul, but the Bible will change your life on the outside, see, inside and out. That's why you ought to read your Bible. That's why you're supposed to come to church. That's why somebody's supposed to get up and preach. Supposed to preach the Word of God, you see. Yes, Christianity, being saved, is supposed to change you. By faith. By faith. Romans 10:9 tells you what to believe. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Let me ask you something. Can you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I know you do. You all believe in that. You can't be saved without believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me quote that for you again, Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Lord? Do you believe that he's the virgin-born Son of God? That he died on the cross? That he bore our sins in his own body on the tree? Can you believe that? Because that's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible presents for us. A Savior who bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Every sin that you've ever committed was laid upon Jesus, even though you weren't born yet. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved, saved from what? Saved from hell. Next verse goes with it, verse number 10. For with the heart, you see, it's got to be a heart matter. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know how you get saved? You get saved by faith in a person. You get saved by faith. Put your faith in a person. You can pray to Jesus Christ. You can pray. See, you've got to admit that you're a sinner. You might as well face it. We're no good for nothing, rotten sinners. If you're not, I am. You got to admit that you're a sinner and you cannot save yourself and say, Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. And I believe you died for me, for my sins on the cross. You're buried and raised from the dead, and I receive you as my Savior. He'll save you. He'll give you eternal life, you see. All that is by faith. Let me go on here for just a little bit. Our scripture verse said, our scripture verse in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 35 says, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Why? That they might obtain a better resurrection. Let me see if I can explain that for you. What we're reading about here are people who were being tortured because they were Christians. Listen carefully. They could have accepted deliverance. They could have accepted deliverance and their life would have been spared by denying Jesus Christ, by saying, okay, I deny Jesus, I deny Christ, I'm not a Christian. They could have said that and their life would have been spared. You can go back in history and read about these things. You can go back in history and read about these things, you see. But they could have accepted deliverance and denied Christ. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says they wanted something better. They wanted a better resurrection. And so they went ahead and they died for their faith. I could give you an illustration. Jesus Christ could have come down from the cross. He could have come down from the cross, but he refused to come down. The people on the ground, they said, come on down. Come down and save thyself and we'll believe you then. But he refused to come down from the cross. He did not accept deliverance when it was offered to him, see. Because he looked ahead and he saw what he would gain. You know what he's going to gain? He's going to gain you. Is that worth it? He's going to gain Christians. He's going to gain millions of people who would believe in him and be saved and then be with him for all eternity. 2,000 years ago, plus all the way back to Adam, he died for their sins too. You see, he looked ahead, and the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he looked ahead and he saw what he would gain, and he refused to come down from the cross. And my favorite songs is, he didn't come down. They refused to accept deliverance. See, here's a couple of other illustrations. I'll try to be quick. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel chapter number 3, y'all know the story there. Three Hebrew children. The king Nebuchadnezzar, he built a giant image of himself and he commanded all the people to bow down whenever the music played. And there's three. Everybody bows down when it comes time except there's three Hebrews. Their name's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're standing up. They're not going to bow down. They go tell the king, Nebuchadnezzar, there's three Hebrews out here. They refuse to bow down. They come out and say, is that true? You guys are not bowing down to my statue, to my image. This is what's going to happen in the tribulation too, by the way. This is a type of it back here. You can read that. You can read about it, I believe, in Revelation chapter number 13. You can read about the Antichrist makes a statue, an image of himself. But anyway, back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and said, look, we'll give you another chance. Give you another chance. You can bow down if, you know, we'll give you another opportunity. They said, look, King Nebuchadnezzar, at this point in time, he's the most powerful man in the world. He's the world ruler. See, Babylon is the nation of the Chaldeans is the world's superpower. So they're talking to King Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful king on earth at that time. They said, we don't care what you say. God can deliver us if he wants to. But if he decides not to, we're still not going to bow down. They threw him in the furnace. They heated the furnace up 7 times hotter. Even the men who went to throw him in were burned up in the fire. Y'all know the story, don't you? They weren't burned up. There was a fourth man in the fire. The fourth man in the fire, his name was Jesus, the Son of God. He was in the fire with them. They refused to accept deliverance, and they were brought out of the fire. I'm saying we're reading about here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 35, some people who could have accepted deliverance when they were tortured and tormented, but they decided not to. They said, we want a better resurrection. In other words, whenever we're resurrected from the dead or we stand before Jesus Christ, we want some rewards. We want some rewards when we get there. We want a good resurrection, you see. We don't want something ordinary. We want a good resurrection, a better resurrection. He said, could talk about the Apostle Paul who could have accepted deliverance. But he said, whenever he was ready to die in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6 and 7, I believe it says, Paul tells his folks there, he's telling us really, for I am now ready to be offered. He's going to die. Y'all know how Paul the Apostle died? You know, Romans, take a sword, whew, cut his head off. That's about to happen to him in Romans, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. That's what he said. He could have said, okay, I deny Christ. I'm not a Christian. But he didn't do that, see. He said, I want a better resurrection. I want some rewards. You can read down to verse number 8. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, you see. Let me ask you, what kind of resurrection are you going to have? What kind of resurrection are you going to have whenever you stand before Jesus? Could I make 3 simple points that would apply to us? Number one, let me say this, that there is a resurrection from the dead. There is a resurrection. We talked about that a little bit a while ago. The resurrection of Jesus Christ made it possible for us to be resurrected. You see, you're made up of a body and a soul and a spirit. Whenever you die, listen carefully, whenever you die, if you're saved, here's what's going to happen. Your soul is going to leave your body and it's going to go up. It's going to go up to heaven. A homing beam or something like that. Your soul is going to go to heaven. Your body is going to be put in the grave. Soul and spirit's going up this way. But if you're not saved, here's what's going to happen. There's another homing beam down here. Your soul's going to leave your body and it's going to go down there, see? Body's going to go in the grave. And then we don't have time to talk about all the other things. But see, what the point I want to make is that there is a resurrection. Everybody's going to be resurrected at some point, see? There's a resurrection. Second thing I'd like to say, not only is there a resurrection, but there's a reckoning. A reckoning. Well, everybody's going to stand before God. Everyone will have to stand before God. And in other words, the Lord's going to say this. He's going to say, let's see how you did. Jesus Christ, for Christians, for you folks who are saved, Brother Yazzie, Jesus is going to say, let's see how you did. Let's see how good you lived your life, and let me see if there's some rewards to pass out for you. It's not for going to hell. It's just for rewards. Let's see how you did. You know what I want the Lord to say, and I think about this all the time. I just wonder if maybe you do. You know what I think about all the time? I want to hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Wouldn't you like to hear that from the Lord? From Jesus? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see? And so that's what's going to happen. If a person is not saved, there's another resurrection. That's the last resurrection that I talked to you about in Sunday school. where you're raised up and stand before God at the great white throne judgment. That's not any fun. I shouldn't even talk about it in a light vein or anything like that, because it's a serious matter. So you see, first off, there is a resurrection for all of you folks, all of us as Christians, or anybody. And number two, there's a day of reckoning. A reckoning. He's going to see how you did, and he's going to give you rewards. If you have been faithful, he will reward you. You're not going to lose your place in heaven. But there are rewards that he's going to pass out. And let me tell you something, folks. You're going to want those rewards. You're not going to want to sit on the sideline and just watch everybody else get rewards. You're going to want those rewards. You know how you get them? You be faithful. You be faithful. And you obey the Lord and do what he says. You see, no matter what it is. When something's hard, something seems hard. Well, I tell you what, folks. Christians are so soft today. They are absolutely, even people in the United States or wherever, they have been trained to be so soft. They have to be pampered and petted. Just like that article I read to my Sunday school class, the University of Arizona over there, how they're training their students. These are people 18 years and above, and they're teaching them to be little babies and little children. And to pamper, that's what's going on in our society. You see? God wants us to, he calls us soldiers, Christian soldiers of the Lord. You see? Could I give you just, if you want a better resurrection, if you want, whenever you meet Jesus, to have rewards. And I hope we pray to hear that voice of his say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let me give you four simple things. Number one, you know what you have to do? Number one, you have to speak up. Speak up. Speak up for the Lord. A lot of Christians, they never say anything about Jesus Christ. You know what you talk about? You talk about things that you love. If you love Jesus Christ, you should be able to say something for him. Amen. Speak up. Bible says in Mark chapter 8, and verse number 38, Mark 8:38 says that if we're ashamed of Jesus and his words, whenever we see him, whenever he comes back, he will be ashamed of us. I don't want him to be ashamed of me. You know what we ought to do? We ought to speak up and not be afraid to open our mouth. Do your folks that you work around and all that, do they know that you're a Christian? Do they know you go to church? They know you go to a Bible-believing church? Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Number two, we should not only just speak up, but we ought to stand up. We ought to stand for that which is right. Stand for the right things. We ought to stand for righteousness and speak up for the Lord. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, that we're to stand against the wiles of the devil. If we're a Christian, we need to do right at church, at home, in our family. Raise your kids up to know what's right and wrong and teach them. And that's a big business, man. That's a big business to teach your kids what is right and wrong. So see, we ought to speak up and we ought to stand up. Number three, we ought to wake up. A lot of Christians, they're asleep spiritually. They're not concerned about their neighbors. They're not concerned about anybody else being saved. They're only concerned about themselves. You see, we ought to wake up. Too many Christians are unconcerned about others. They're unconcerned about their children. They're unconcerned about the things of God. They forgot about that. Just me, my job, and all that, that's it. That's all I care about, see. God put you here. God put us here to do something for him. And we ought to wake up. And number four, we ought to grow up. We ought not to be baby Christians our entire life. Get that book out, that Bible, and read that book. And read that Bible and don't take the easy way. See, that's like those Christians there, those people there that we read about. They could have accepted deliverance. In other words, they could have taken the easy way out. Too many Christians, they're taking the easy road. You don't believe me? I'll tell you. I'll prove it to you. Bunch of you folks ain't coming back tonight. You're not coming back tonight. You know why? You don't want to come back tonight. You see? You're going to take the easy route. You're going to take the easy road because it's a little bit of trouble. It's a little bit of trouble to come back on Sunday night, see? It's a little bit of trouble to make time. Don't you think a Christian, a person that's a Christian that loves God, ought to arrange their life so that they can serve God? Don't you think we ought to go to a little bit of trouble where we arrange our life so that we can do things for God? Well, why don't some of us do it then? See? It's kind of like tithing, see? I'm a tither. You think I'd buy a car and make it so I couldn't tithe? Well, I wouldn't do that for nothing. I mean, do you think your preacher ought to tithe? And do you think I ought to buy a car and, well, I can't tithe now. God, I got to make my car payments. You see? And so Christians ought to arrange their life so that they can do something for the Lord, so that they can obey God. See, we're going to see Jesus Christ one of these days. When we get there, I want to have some rewards. I want to have some rewards. I want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. See, I done went and quit preaching, gone to meddling now. Y'all got real quiet on me there. Amen. Are you saved this morning? You know how, if you're not saved, you know how you get saved? You get saved by faith. What kind of resurrection are you going to have when it comes time to meet the Lord? You're going to have a good resurrection. You're going to have rewards whenever you get there. That's what we want. You can have all those things. You know how we do that? Just by faith, by obeying the Lord, by obeying what he said. Amen. Let's bow our heads.